evening. Nehemiah chapter 12. I'm not going to read all of this chapter. If you like, the first 26 verses are really a continuation of chapter 11. It was all a list of names of those who had left and come to Jerusalem and fulfilled certain roles, and God has taken note. And then when we come to verse 27, I'm going to read a few of these verses just to set the scene of the chapter this morning, and we'll cover more of it as we progress in the will of the Lord. Look at verse number 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singings, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Now, glance down to verse 31. The walls have been built, they're completed, and it's time to give thanks to God. It's time to praise the Lord. And so they're going to have an amazing praise service. Verse 31. Then I brought up the princes out of Judah upon the wall, and appointed two great companies of them that give thanks, whereon one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. These two groups, some versions call them choirs, were brought up onto the walls, and they would march around the walls. One would go clockwise, one would go anti-clockwise, and then they would meet. And these choirs, as they went round the walls, they would be singing praises. Verse number 40. So the two companies of them that give thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. And this down to verse 43. I want you to see the scene. They're marching around the walls, they're singing, they're giving praise to God. Verse 43 really summarizes it. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God hath made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And we do trust that God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. If you've ever been in Edinburgh, you'll see a little monument in, I think it's in Princes Street, I just wouldn't be sure, to Grey Friars Bobby. And the story goes that the man died, he was in an unmarked grave, nobody seemed to pay much attention to him, but his little doggy. And his little dog would go every day, and for 14 years, that little dog sat at the grave of this man called John Gray. And so this little monument, if you like, is a monument to the dedication of that little dog who for 14 years sat at his master's grave. This morning we're going to look at these walls being dedicated, but I want to think more about how dedicated are you and I this morning. There was a time when Peter in Acts chapter 10 verse 14 said this, he said, "Not so, Lord." And it's often been pointed out by others, and I've said it many times myself, you cannot say "not so" and "Lord." If you say "not so," then he's not your Lord. And so we're asking the question this morning, how dedicated are you, and how dedicated am I this morning? I've entitled this message this morning, "Walking the Walls." Some were out walking yesterday, if they happened to nod off, you have my permission to give them a dig in the ribs and keep them awake. Now, I'm told that the older people were able to stick the pace. Some of the younger people seem to fade towards the end, and I'm all for the old people doing well. But we're going to walk the walls this morning, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But I want to think about dedication, because if you're truly dedicated to the Lord, if the Lord truly is first in your life, then it'll make a difference in your home. Your home will be a sweeter place and a lovelier place. It'll make a difference in your workplace and in your business, because your attitude will be different if you're dedicated to the Lord. You know, it would make a difference in our country. What a difference God's people could make if we were dedicated and truly it was Christ first. What a difference it would make in the church if all of us were truly, completely dedicated to the Lord. There's words that were engraved in a cathedral in Germany that have often been quoted. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me the life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and see me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. I remember as a child, we didn't have much TV. We had only BBC One, I think. It was years before we could BBC Two, but I remember coming home from school, I liked to watch Record Breakers with Roy Castle. And he used to say, dedication is what you need. That's what he used to say. And when it comes to the work of God, dedication is what you need. Look at verse number 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places. This was the time to dedicate these walls. They were completed, the gates had been repaired, and they were going to celebrate this great achievement. Once again, the city of Jerusalem would reflect the glory of God. The gates had been repaired, the city had been repopulated. It was time to just to draw breath and to give thanks unto the Lord. The enemy had been proved wrong. Nehemiah 4 verse 3, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even they that say build, if a fox go up, it shall even break down their stone wall. And the enemy said, what you're doing is pathetic. What you're doing is a bit of a joke. It won't last. You won't get it finished. And if you do get it finished, the workmanship is so poor and the quality of the materials are so poor that if a little fox walked across the wall, it'll tumble down. And yet God's people had triumphed with God's help. And Jerusalem again, that city of God, it was going to be a beacon for the Lord. It had lay in ruins for so long, and now it was what God wanted it to be. You know, and as I think of this dedication, there are a number of things that we need if we're going to be dedicated. The first thing is there has to be willing hearts. God does not conscript his followers. The Lord invites you to follow me. He invites us to follow him in salvation, and I believe he invites us to follow him in our dedication. In verse 27, you see they sought out the Levites out of all their places. The call went out to the Levites to come and to join in this and indeed to lead this great praise service. And we know from the scriptures from verse 28 and 29 that the sons of the singers gathered themselves together both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Nephi and other places as well, and the people responded to the call. The Lord invited them to come, and they come. The Lord Jesus was asked by someone on one occasion, they said, Lord, we want to follow thee. And when the Lord put the question to them, they said, suffer me first to go and do something else. And sometimes that's really how our lives are lived. It's me first. Me first. The Lord can get the leftovers. The Lord can get that time that we have nothing else to do. But the Lord's asking you to make him first in your life. It'll make your home a happier place. It'll make your life a better life. It'll make this church a better place. And sometimes we're saying to the Lord, it's me first. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. And I sought for a man among them, that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I find none. It's good to have Ezekiel with us this morning, and Ezekiel's going to speak through his word as well. And God's looking for people to come and stand in the gap. And too often we're saying, Lord, I will, but I have some things to do for me first. I wonder how dedicated you and I are this morning. Do we have willing hearts? Not only do we need willing hearts, but these things are obvious, but we need a clean heart. Look at verse 30. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people. You'll notice that the Levites purified themselves before they purified the people. What a challenge to me. What a challenge to me to be right with God before I seek to encourage you to be right with God. And any servant of the Lord must first purify themselves. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 verse 22 to young Timothy, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and in purity. A holy life is essential if we truly are going to be dedicated to the Lord. And I trust the word of God will challenge our hearts this morning. The psalmist said in Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. If you're going to be dedicated, we're looking for willing hearts We're looking for clean hearts. The Lord's looking for sacrificing hearts. Look at verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. Can you just see the joy flowing over here? And the wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard, even afar off. You see, joy, rejoicing, joy, rejoicing, joy. And yet it talks about sacrifices. We don't associate sacrifice with joy. We don't associate giving with joy. People used to say, you know, give until it hurt. Actually, you should give until it doesn't hurt. Give until it doesn't hurt. And they gave and they sacrificed, and yet there was joy. This is what they had promised to do. Do you remember when they signed the covenant, they had promised that they would give as God had prospered them, using New Testament language. The Lord Jesus Christ, joy was associated with his sacrifice, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There's joy in sacrificing to the Lord. I wonder, and I ask myself the same question, when was the last time, like Mary, we broke the box and poured everything out at the feet of the Lord? When was the last time it actually cost us to be a follower of Christ? Or is it me first this morning? Willing hearts, clean hearts, sacrificial hearts. And this is the one I'm going to concentrate a little bit on this morning. Thankful hearts. Thankful hearts. You know, thanksgiving is essential. Look at verse 40. So stood the two companies of them that give thanks in the house of God, I on behalf of the rulers with me. And here it's all about thanksgiving. A dedicated believer will be a thankful believer. It's commanded that you and I would give thanks. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verse 40. It's commanded. It is a good thing, the psalmist said, to give thanks unto the Lord. It's Christ-like. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. It's something that should be continuous. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. We can't give thanks for everything. We have to be honest. But we can thank God in everything. Because when we look even in the darkness, we can see the hand of God at work. In some measure. Thanksgiving will be there in eternity. We'll come to this on Wednesday night when we begin in Revelation. Revelation 4 verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne for all eternity, we will be a thankful people. Do you remember the story of the 10 lepers? And they went to the Lord. Remember, lepers would have been living in a colony. They'd have suffered pain and separation and disdain day in and day out. They met the Lord. They were set free. Only one of them bothered to come back and say, thank you, Lord. Only one of them bothered to take time to thank the Lord. Are you a thankful believer this morning? Do you thank the Lord for the food on the table? Do you thank the Lord even for Christian friends? That's what Paul said in Acts 25 verse 15. Whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. The essentialness of thanksgiving. The enjoyment of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving gives us peaceful hearts. Colossians 3 verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You have peace and thanksgiving in the one heart. You see, when you're a thankful Christian, the devil finds it difficult to get in. When we become cold and bitter, when we have a sense of entitlement, and you know, we have no rights. We just want to thank God for his love and his grace and his mercy. We deserve nothing. And yet God has poured out his goodness to us. Every breath you take, Daniel tells us, is a gift from God. God holds your next breath in his hand and he gives it to you. And in the midst of everything, We have so much to be thankful for. And when we're not a thankful Christian, when we have this sense of entitlement that somebody owes us something, and the whole world owes us something, and somehow God owes us something, then the devil gets in and we become cold and bitter and even divisive. A thankful heart will experience the presence of God, enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. A thankful heart can praise the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name. A thankful heart portrays a Christ-like life. Colossians 2 verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I love that phrase that's used of a river bursting its banks. Are we abounding with thanksgiving? Thanksgiving promotes the Savior. Psalm 69 verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Think about the enjoyment of thanksgiving. Think of some of the elements of thanksgiving. We're coming back to Nehemiah chapter 12. I want to do this quickly this morning, but we're going to climb up onto the walls. Apologies to those who walked so much yesterday. I want you to do some walking with me this morning again. Look at verse 31. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies, some versions say choirs, of them that give thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. These were divided into two companies. Nehemiah takes one, Ezra takes the other company, and they're walking round the walls. And what caught my attention was the names of the walls that they came to. You see, as they walk around the walls, remember, at one time they'd been in rubble, they were a disgrace, they were a laughing matter, they were a laughing stock, and as they walk around, they're simply saying, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Look at verse 31. Do you notice the first gate that's mentioned, the dung gate? You know, that's the gate where all the filth of the city was carried out. It was a gate that, I have no doubt, wasn't the cleanest gate, but you know, as they walked around the dung gate, as you and I walked there this morning, how we want to thank the Lord for his cleansing power. How we want to thank the Lord that the filth is gone. The sin is gone. And we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Someone said to an open-air preacher recently, this was a Catholic priest, he says, you lot are brainwashed. And as quick as a flash, he says, no, we're not, we're blood-washed. We're blood-washed. Listen, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a reason to thank the Lord this morning. As we walk past the dung gate, we remember that's the old life. It's gone. I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul could say in Romans chapter 7 when he dealt with the sanctification of the believer. Look at verse number 37. And at the fountain gate. When we looked at the gates a number of chapters back, we tied the fountain gate in with the Spirit of God. The Lord talks about the living water flowing out of us, and then he talks about the Holy Spirit. How we not only thank God that the filth is gone, we thank God that we can know the infilling and the liberty and the power of the Spirit of God. We don't often talk about the third person of the Trinity, but what a blessing to have God the Spirit dwelling in our hearts. What a blessing when we're dedicated to him to be filled with the Spirit of God. Whatever you're full of controls you. If you're full of anger, that anger will control you. If you're full of hatred, that hatred will control you. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, Christ will control your life. You'll be a dedicated believer. As they walk around the walls, they pass the dung gate and the fountain gate as they make their journey on. Verse 37, and at the fountain gate which was over against them, they went up the stairs of the city of David, and going up the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate. Remember we looked at the water gate? You know, water speaks of the Word of God. How we thank God for his Word this morning. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You know, we have so much to thank the Lord for. The filth is gone. sins are gone. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God, a faithful book that never changes. From Genesis to Revelation, you can take every word, every comma, every dot, every jot, every tittle, the whole lot. What a book we have in our hands this morning. Are you thankful for it this morning? The filth is gone. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the faithful Word of God. We meet another gate in verse 39. And from above the gate of Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitful. We didn't meet this gate before, but what a life we can live. We often preach the gospel and we say without Christ, life has no meaning, life has no purpose. With Christ, does your life have a purpose? How fruitful is your life this morning? We can begin with the fruit of the Spirit. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Is there love, joy, peace? How fruitful are you for the Lord this morning? We have to thank the Lord this morning. The filth is gone. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We have the faithful Word of God. We can live fruitful lives this morning. Look at verse 39 again. Do you see? And from above the gate of Ephraim and above the old gate. What about the old gate? I want to say a word to the young people this morning. You know, sometimes people may say, that's a very old-fashioned church you go to. I mean, they still use this old King James Version of the Bible. They still sing these old hymns. They still preach the old-fashioned gospel message. They still warn you about the old paths. And they still cherish these old things that you have in the Word of God. Young people, don't be embarrassed about it. Thank God for it. I want to make sure every family here can bring their little ones into this assembly and know that they will hear that there's a Savior who loved them and died for them and rose again and wants to save them. And we'll use the word saved. We'll talk about the blood. We'll talk about sin. We'll talk about heaven. We'll talk about hell because we're staying in the old paths. Thank God for it, young people. Don't be embarrassed about it. In fact, stand up for it. Thank God for it. I want the young people to know the truth about Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Look at verse 39 again. And above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hani, the tower of Mea, even unto the sheep gate. You see the fish gate? Remember what Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Thank God for those who cared enough about your soul to be fishers of men. I thank God, I remember going to Coke Baptist one occasion, I wasn't saved. And I remember a dear saint of God, she's now in her 80s, and I remember her just saying to me in the way, Ian, I'm praying for you. Ian, I'm praying for you. And she meant it. And she did pray. And God moved and God saved my soul. And I thank God for those who fished for my soul. And as you walk past the fish gate, thank God for faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful youth workers, faithful preachers of the gospel, faithful friends, faithful parents who told you about Jesus, the mighty to save. Tell me, do you spend any time at the fish gate? Are you fishing for souls? I know some here, they're only saved a few years, and they never miss an opportunity to tell their friends and their family that they need Christ, and they need Christ now. How we thank God for the fish gate. For those who fish for our souls. Look at verse 39 again. It mentions the sheep gate. I call this the finished gate. As we said in, I think it was Nehemiah chapter 3, they began at the sheep gate, they ended at the sheep gate. Everything centered on Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And how we thank God for Christ. You know, if you have nothing else to thank God for, thank Him for His Son. Thank Him forever loving you enough to send His Son into the world. Thank Jesus Christ for being willing to go to Calvary. And there just to die on that center cross for you. That's why we gather at this table week by week. Some other assemblies only meet quarterly to remember the Lord, and often they say they don't want it to become a routine or a ritual. But you know, I don't find that. I find I just want to be here to thank the Lord. Maybe this is a good time for you to think about staying around the Lord's table. And just take a few moments just to thank the Lord for saving your soul. During the pandemic, many things have been awful, but the sweetest times that I can remember were the times when we met here, we were just meeting around the table. And I know some couldn't be here, Sunday school was on, and I know that some were shielding, and I understand that. I'm not saying those that weren't here, somehow there's something wrong with you. Please, please understand. But you see, when God's people gathered here, and everyone that was here wanted to be here, we had some of the most precious times around this table. But you know, every Sunday's a precious time around this table. Just to pass the sheep gate. And to thank the Lord for what He has done for us. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Look at verse 39, we're nearly finished. And from the gate, above the gate Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate. Remember, they're walking around these gates, and the Tower of Haniel, the Tower of Me, even unto the sheep gate. And they stood still in the prison gate. Now the prison gate or the Ephraim gate weren't mentioned in chapter 3. Some believe that the prison gate is the Mikpat gate that was mentioned. It was the gate of inspection. But I'm just going to take the authorized version of what it says, the prison gate. And sometimes it's good just to stop and remember the prison that we were in. How we were held by chains of darkness. And sometimes the chains were filthy. Sometimes the chains were clean, but we were being held back. For some of us, we were just waiting for that right moment to trust the Lord. For other of us, we were so deep in sin, we didn't want to forsake our sin. And here we stand this morning, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and Christ has set us free. Isn't that something to thank the Lord for? Free from condemnation. Free from the thought of closing our eyes in death and opening them in hell. Free. Free to serve Christ. Free to love Christ. Free to live for Christ. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and thank God I followed thee. Isn't it good to stop at the prison gate? And just thank the Lord for setting us wonderfully, graciously, and eternally free. Notice verse 42. And Messiah, and Shemaniah, and Eliezer, and Uzziah, and Jehanan, and Malchiah, and Elam, and Ezer. And here's what it says. The singers sang loud. Boy, they were really belching it out. They were really giving it their all. They just wanted to thank the Lord. The rubble was gone. The rubbish was gone. And everything was as it should be. And these walls were being dedicated to the Lord. Is everything as it should be with you this morning? Is there a willing heart? Is there a clean heart? Is there a sacrificial heart? Is there a thankful heart? Then you see, you'll have a rejoicing heart. Look at verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. And God made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. You know, I was challenged by this. As I look back over the various lockdowns we've had, I wonder sometimes, did I get it wrong? Especially when it came to singing. And I know I put people before praise. And I would rather have more of you here and not singing, because I had to say to some people yesterday, I'm sorry, I have no room for you on Sunday. And it's an awful thing for a shepherd to have to tell the sheep not to come to get fed. And I thank God for sermon audio and for the men that work it at the back and for all the other mediums, and we're glad of them, but there's nothing beats being here. Just to rub shoulders with the people of God. And sometimes I wonder, did they get it wrong? And God's my judge. And I'll have to answer to the Lord for that one.
But you can see here that the joy was such that it was heard afar off. Someone said to me yesterday, he's not from this area at all, he's not from this church. He said there's a girl from our church and she's marrying a young man from her friend. And they'll be looking for a church, and they heard that Refreelin Baptist was a welcoming church. And I was so pleased. And yet over lockdown it's been difficult. Difficult to be the welcoming church that we want to be. I hope and pray that soon we can open the doors and welcome people in from all different backgrounds. But we're not there yet. But I'm glad that we're heard of as being a welcoming church. I'm glad it was heard even afar off. But I think of it going afar off, I think of it outreach. And this would tell me, if we want to impact this area for Christ, the greater our dedication, the greater the reach. Because that's what's happened here. They're dedicated and it's heard afar off. Now, I made it very personal to me this morning. And with this I do finish. I said if the outreach of Refreelin Baptist Church depended on my dedication, how far would it go? If everyone was as dedicated as you, how far would we reach? How much would we get done? What work could we do? And I thank God for dedicated workers. It was easy for me to say to people, bring the tent, the men will be here. Bring the tent, the workers will be here. Bring the tent. I have total confidence that God has the people here for it. If it was just you, how much would we get done in Refreelin Baptist Church if it was just down to you? If it was just down to me. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And Joshua is going to go to this door and I'm going to go to that door. We're not shaking hands. It's just to greet you as you leave. I want to get some of the warmth back into this place. And next week we'll swap around. But we want to get some sense of normality back, and we'll have an office bearers meeting coming up soon and we'll see what we're able to do. But let's stand as we close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the lessons we have learned this morning. And Lord, as we've walked these walls, Lord, we pray that we will have concentrated on what God has to say to us. And Lord, if there's someone here who's not what they should be, Lord, give us the grace to change. And Lord, if the work of this assembly, if the outreach of this assembly depended only on me, how far would it go? How far would my prayers take it? How far would my giving take it? How far would my dedication take it? Lord, challenge our hearts afresh. Bless those who must leave us now. And Lord, as we gather around this table, give us a special time. For it's in our Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.